Blog Talk Radio.
All right, good morning, everyone. Today is August 20th, 2020, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things which must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre, here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we welcome you to this morning's episode. As we get started, it's a good time right now to find your Bible, pen and paper, and get ready for today's word. Let's open up with a word of prayer, followed by our before Torah blessing. And Rabbi, if you would pray for us this morning.
Yes. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for the awesomeness of your word and your presence and your will for us today. Father, you have established the earth. You have established all of your creation in order not just to be a blessing to you, but to be a blessing to us, your offspring. Father, help us to understand our value and our responsibility to ourselves, to you, and to others. Father, I ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression. I also thank you, Father, for forgiving our forefathers on both sides of my family to the third and fourth generation. Father, I thank and praise you for manifesting the thousand generation blessing through my lineage and through our lineage. We appropriate that blessing that you have so righteously given to us. Father, we accept it and we pass it on to the rest of our lineage in the name of Yeshua. Father, I thank you for this word and I thank you for what it does to us and what it does for us. We thank you that your word has been established way before the creation. And we thank you, Father God, that it's still creating and in us recreating areas in our lives that need to be established, that needs to be revitalized in so many ways. We glorify you, God. We honor you. And we submit this time to you and allow you, by way of your Ruach, to begin to speak, to begin to probe areas in our lives that must be adjusted in these last days in order for us to live as the overcomers that you've created us to be. We thank you for that right now. We are grateful. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. And I will pass it back to you, Pastor Andre.
Thank you, sir. We'll go ahead and open up before we engage in the study of Yah's word with our before Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yahuwah Eloheinu melech haolam asher kishanu b'mitzvotav itzanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahuwah, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen, amen. Well, if you're joining us this week and missed a few, we've basically been discussing the end-time events pertaining to a lot of the hype around a King Cyrus figure and whether or not that figure is represented by our president, Donald Trump. Now, I wanted to just give a reminder before we continue that it is very important as we find ourselves in these times and as we are looking to see if things that are happening on the ground are lining up with Scripture, we want to exactly do that. We want to make sure and sift our eschatological or end times viewpoints with the Word of God. So Rabbi and I have been doing this very thing. It has actually been a subject that many people have been talking about, and we are analyzing it to see, does this line up with the Word of God? And more importantly, what does the Word of God say about King Cyrus? One of the other things we talked about recently, especially this last week, was Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. We began to look at the prophetic things that were being fulfilled in his time, in Daniel's time. And we noted that the manifestation of Yah's word they do not come back void to him. And so even in Daniel's words, the days that he was living in, the words of Jeremiah were ready to be fulfilled. And we have Daniel now as an example, because we are finding ourselves in a similar position that Daniel was in. Like Daniel, we are seeing Scripture being fulfilled before our eyes, which leads us to another point that is very important. We need to prepare ourselves and not just be righteous, but be holy, so that not just holiness for its own sake, but in order that we can proclaim the things like Daniel proclaimed in his time, to proclaim the manifestations of what started in Daniel chapter 10, 11, and 12. And we're entering into the things that are seeing and taking place in chapter 12 even. Now, last week, we also reviewed Ezra chapter 6, verse 14, which discusses how the elders built the temple, and it goes through the order of how things happened with the different Persian kings that were there. And we see that Cyrus initiated the building of the temple, but it was completed in the time of Artaxerxes, which is the biblical husband of Queen Esther. Not just biblical, but historical as well, but the figure Queen Esther from the Bible, it was her husband. This indicates that King Cyrus did not complete the temple, but he started it off. Now, transitioning into another topic we talked about last week, we looked at Revelation chapter 13 and read verses 1 through 10 to really give us the sober picture of what must take place to include the bride of Christ, the saints of God. And we looked at a specific word that talked about, and that was the patience of the saints. Some scriptures refer to patient endurance, but the Greek word that we looked at was Greek number, Strong's number, 5281. And it was the word in Greek, hupomone. And it's referring, again, to the patience of the saints. And Rabbi began to talk about how we need to possess and maintain this special patience. Well, this patience connects with the fruit of the Spirit. And as we ended last week's broadcast, we began to talk about the necessity for the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit being manifest in our lives. Now, real quick, just to connect again the discussion of Revelation chapter 13, we looked at Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, to define the war that is taking place against the saints of God. And it's the war of the dragon who's fighting against the woman and her offspring, those who keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The dragon is making war with those who have the anointing and power to win over him. But as we see in chapter 13, for a time, he's given authority over the saints. Now, going back to I always get tripped up when I say this. Hupomone. It's defined as a patient enduring, waiting for God to step in and do what he is prepared to do. And it talked about being under this patient, hopeful waiting. Now, we left off with this other point here that's really important here, that without this patience, the saints will not be able to endure or to maintain. Hupomone, this patience, is essential for today. The fruit of the Spirit, and patience is one of the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we wanted to also highlight. Hupomone is part of the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to need more of this fruit and more of this in totality, the fruit of the Spirit, in this day. But Rabbi said something I thought was very clever and kind of funny. But it's like eating watermelon. We don't want to just eat the fruit, but in this case, we want to eat the seeds too, because the seeds have nutrients. And so we want all of the fruit of the Spirit, and especially hupomone at this time. So, Rabbi, I want to go ahead and pass it to you for this week's discussion.
Amen and amen. I mean, that was a great synopsis. One of the things, Pastor Andre, that as I was listening to your recap, the Holy Spirit just reminded me, the rock reminded me, kind of spiritually arrested me. And when I say arrested me, it's because I was wanting to go deep into and just kind of dive into the fruit of the Spirit, which, of course, we did talk about, and we will do that. But the Holy Spirit just, you know, lovingly prompted me and stopped me and said, wait a minute. it's imperative that we understand why the fruit of the Spirit in our day and age over the power of the Spirit, the dunamos, because the church as a whole is focused more so or desires more so the power of the Spirit in our day and age. And what they don't understand, what we as a body of believers don't understand, is this plays directly into the adversary's strategy and game plan. It empowers him when we focus on the power of God over the fruit of the Spirit. Because we have a dysfunctional understanding of the importance and the ability that resonates within the fruit versus the ability that resonates within the power of the Spirit. Now, before we get into that aspect of the study, we've got to go all the way back. Pastor Andre, we've got to go back to Daniel chapter 7. And then we've got to pick up Daniel chapter 7, starting with verse 23, but focusing primarily on verse 25, because that is where we are headed in our day. And what this will do is this will begin to prayerfully amplify for you, those who are listening, the importance of why the study is shifting and the emphasis is shifting to the fruit of the Spirit to come against the wiles of the enemy versus the dunamos or the power of the Spirit that most are extremely attracted to and desire to have in their spiritual walk. Okay? So we're going to pick it up at Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to go into an understanding. Now, keep in mind, this aspect of Daniel, Daniel got some very vivid film clippings, if you will, of our day, and got an understanding of exactly how the adversary's playbook was going to be played and how the Father's playbook was going to play out in our day. So it's notable for us to continually go back and pick up this understanding and begin to apply it properly. That's our goal, is to apply it properly in our day, because we need it to become these overcomers that Yeshua spoke to the Apostle John about in the beginning book of the book Revelation. In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, when he was talking about the seven churches of Asia Minor. So it's imperative that we understand that and that we begin to see that for what it is. So Daniel chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 23 and go from 23 to 25.
All right. And I'm reading from King James Version. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time.
Now, we understand, Pastor Andre, that time, times, and dividing of times is 3.5 years. We also understand that directly correlates to Revelation. So we know this, okay? We also understand that this individual is the Antichrist. This talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So we get that, okay? We also understand that these are the latter Latter-day Saints, no pun intended there for the Mormons, but these are the Latter-day Saints in which is our day, which is where we are, you know. So the way in which this verbiage is talking about wearing out the saints, that's the part that we want to extrapolate from this, okay? That's the part that we want to really focus on right now, okay? And the reason why that is because this is letting us know where, in our time period, we will fall. It is letting us know where our Achilles heel is in the body of Christ right now. So would it not make sense if you have already been given the playbook, you've already been given the scenario, you already understand that this is the way it's going to play out, and this is how that the adversary, the evil one, is going to usurp the power that was originally given to the saints, he will acquire it. Well, if we know or we're getting an understanding of how he's going to acquire it, then we must, for our own protection and our own ability to stand in the evil day, we must go back and evaluate what went wrong. How did he get the upper hand on us? And when we begin to look at this as far as wearing out the saints, one of the notable statements, and we also teach this in Zool College, but one of the notable statements is that the adversary is changing the biblical calendar and the worship days and the times of fellowship. We understand that. Okay, when you begin to look at different translations of this particular passage in verse 25, you quickly get an understanding of, okay, he's trying to divert the times and the seasons and the feast days and in order to totally eradicate any intimacy and passion between Yah and us. But there's more to this than just that. That's essential. That's important, yes. But what we'll begin to realize is that what he's wearing out with the saints is the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to say that again, Pastor Andre, because that's heavy.
That's good.
He is attacking the very fruit on the tree of us as believers today. He's attacking the fruit. See, because as we spend time with Yah, it's like being on life support. And the very life, the rich life of the tree begins to regenerate the fruit of the Spirit inside of us. It regenerates that peace that passes all understanding. When I'm in the presence of Yah, you know, it's like, and I alluded to the song by Israel Houghton, I believe it's how it's pronounced. And it's nothing else matters. When I get in the presence of him, nothing else matters. And what I have to understand that oftentimes we don't, Pastor Andre, sometimes we miss this, is that, you know, the whole adoration and the worship and, you know, giving him praise and glory and honor and all that stuff, okay, there's an interaction that happens. There's a relationship that happens. There's a give and take, not just give, you know, like a servant gives to their Lord. But there's an intimacy and that there's an empowerment, not for the sake of dunamis power, although that's there, yes, but there is this assurance of knowing and understanding and being to the point to where you be who he has called you to be. And in doing so, you know, like the song says, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter because God arrests all of your senses. He takes charge. He takes over. And you yield to him and you want him to take over because it illuminates you. It revigorates all areas in your life. That's what this fruit does. So when we read Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, we don't want to miss the fact that the adversary is very keen, very cunning, and very crafty, and understands. Because remember, he used to cover the Most High. So he understands to a large degree this whole concept. And so for him, wearing out the saints means to continue to separate, to bombard, to cause them not to be able to be in the presence of Yah. Because that's the only way that you can wear something out, is to not allow it to have that opportunity to rest, to be rejuvenated. The fruit of the Spirit is, in the same way that natural fruit does, it is that rejuvenating power that causes you and I to be renewed. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to read it verse 2, because we're still talking about the same thing, and I don't want to just jump into the fruit of the Spirit that many of you have heard and know and understand to a degree. You know, the fruit itself and the seeds, if you will, or the ingredients of the fruit or what makes the fruit. But it's imperative that we understand why. Why the fruit? Why is the adversary more concerned about the fruit of the Spirit than he is about the power of the Spirit or the gifts, if you will? Sometimes it's called the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are not what concerns the adversary at all. We have to understand that. I know that's for some of you, that is a disruptor, you know, because of the way that you may have been taught pertaining to the gifts of the Spirit. But it's the fruit of the Spirit that concerns the adversary more so. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And we'll go ahead and read verse 1 as well, just so that we keep it somewhat in context. Okay. But verse 2 is what I want you to focus on when you hear Pastor Andre read this.
All right. Starting with verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen. Now, if you're taking notes, the fruit of the Spirit, and this is Pastor Andre. This is what we used to call back in the day a heavy Revy. Okay, it's a heavy revelation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy to forget this. And you know, I'm convicted even as I am sharing this with you. I am convicted. Are you ready for this?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes.
The fruit of the Spirit are unable to produce in your life the full measure of the anointing and manifestation of God if you don't fast. If you refuse to fast and pray, then the ground, the spiritual ground that God has created in you is not fertile enough to take the seed of the word from the fruit of the Spirit to produce the harvest that he has called you to be in these last days. Did you get that?
Yes.
We are trying to manifest and harvest and produce the fruit of the Spirit without having the ground cultivated properly. We're trying to go to verse 2 without understanding the true importance of verse 1 in chapter 12 of Romans. The body is the ground, spiritually speaking. And if the body is not fasting and praying, then the fruit is unable to produce in these last days. When Yeshua said, "When I come, will I find faith?" That's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. He didn't ask, he did not say, "Will I find the gifts of the Spirit manifested?" Did he? He said, "Will I find elements of the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in the life of the believer?" Without the proper regimen of fasting, the proper regimen of prayer, then the Word of God, when it comes to you, will not produce the desired harvest that the Father has mandated in that season. We're in a specific season. It said that Daniel, in the season of King Cyrus, in the season of King Darius, it said in those particular seasons, Daniel prospers. Do you notice it doesn't say anything else about the three Hebrew boys? They are no longer mentioned. But Daniel, in his regimen of fasting, in his regimen of prayer, the word continually kept coming to Daniel. In season and out of season, the word kept continually coming to Daniel. And he was continually being elevated, promoted, prospering. The season did not dictate to Daniel the harvest. Pastor Andre, I hope you're getting this, sir.
I am, sir. It's profound.
On the earth, there's seed time and harvest, right? But Daniel exceeded the seed time and harvest. Daniel exceeded the natural understanding of man. The only other person, when it comes to seed time and harvest, okay, please make sure that everyone understands me when I say this. The only other person that the Holy Spirit is bringing back to my mind is Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
The father spoke to him about his father Abraham and told him that if he would follow his lead, follow Yah's lead, that he would prosper him. Now, and not only did he prosper him, but he supernaturally, just like with Daniel, he supernaturally exceeded the seed time and harvest that were planted on the earth. In the same year, the scripture says, and I believe it's in Genesis chapter 26, in the same year, he received 100-fold harvest. Now, understand what that means. What that means is that he put the seed in the ground, and the same year that he put the seed in the ground, it produced a harvest that was 100-fold. Now, I don't know any other farmer in the natural that has ever had that happen. But the seed of the word produced the fruit in the same year. Daniel walked in that same anointing. He walked in that same anointing because he had a regiment. Now, when I say regiment, most of you understand what I'm saying. It was a fixed, disciplined time of fasting and intimacy with Yah that were mixed according to Yah's instructions, so that the ratio was right. Because we understand in the natural, when you get the ratio of the nutrients and minerals that are needed in the soil with the seed, with the water of the word, in the natural, of course, it germinates and it causes an environment for the manifestation to happen. That's why with worship, there are times, and you know this, there are times that the prophet Elisha, when he would be in an environment that was toxic with Ahab, he would need to have a psalmist come in and begin to play the love songs of the Lord, to begin to woo the Spirit of God to come in and change the toxic environment so that Elisha could begin to hear and get in the presence of God while in an extreme toxic environment, and still have the presence of God begin to move and break the yoke of toxicity around him.
Hmm.
So that the word of God can begin to produce the fruit. Understand that we are coming into an extreme toxic environment. So, making sure that we establish within ourselves this right mixture of the ground being fertile is what is absolutely necessary for the will and the purpose of God to happen. Yeshua said, your traditions have made the word of God of no effect. In other words, your regimen of the way you carry about your day-to-day events have choked out and toxified the very ground that God has created within you to reproduce in kind the glory and the honor of who He is in you. He's given you a piece of Himself to co-create. And instead of co-creating like Him, you're causing devastation and destruction because of the toxicity of what the adversary has done and is doing in this world today. He's wearing out areas in your life. The patience that once was there is gone, or very little remnants of that patience, because your time with Him, and not just time, not just, okay, I'm going to block off this time. Oh, no, no, no. There's preparation to get to that time. It's the literal preparation of the body that is being missed, so that the time, even though it is blocked off in order for Him to move and do what He wants to do, the lack of preparation causes the time to still be toxic. So even though the seed is in the ground, it just sits there. You ever had a prophetic word, and the prophetic word is not fulfilling or moving or doing anything? Although you still go over the word, and you go over the word, and you go over the word, but the preparation that is necessary for the ground has allowed the weeds to choke out the very life of that word. Each of us has a word from the Lord. Each of us are supposed to produce the very life of God. We are mandated, we are created. From birth, we were created to co-produce the very life of God, no matter what the situation or the circumstances externally are. We were created. And the very fruit, the very seed of the fruit of the Spirit is in us to do only one thing, and that is to imitate what God has created. The DNA of the Spirit of God, the beautiful thing about the very seeds of the fruit, is that they in themselves cannot be GMO'd, if you will, genetically modified. Yeah. They can't be genetically modified. But they can, by their traditions and men, be delayed in their ability in your life and in my life to produce what God is calling for in these last days. Yeshua said it. Will there be any fruit? I'm transposing that word faith, which is one of the seeds of the fruit of the fruited spirit, referring to the fruit. Can you give me some feedback on what the Lord is speaking to you about this, Pastor Andre?
No, this has been a very needed and very amazing kind of synopsis of what we need to do. You know, we've talked a lot about the things which are happening, and as we say even in the intro, we need to talk about how we must respond to the things which must take place, and the fruit is so important. And Rabbi, I keep getting just word pictures or just kind of pictures of what you're talking about. And, you know, we talked about even how we need to have fruit, but now we need to make sure that we have the ground ready to produce the type of fruit that Yah is looking for. And I even had a situation this year in my own garden where we had what looked like good fruit, but it didn't mature on the inside. And I was like, what happened? And so I'm realizing now that even we may have the appearance of a fruit, but we need to make sure that it's fully mature and what Yah has designed for it to be specifically for right now. There are so many different things that the Lord has been speaking to me about as you've been talking. But I think what I'm leaving myself with right now is what you said as far as prayer, the regimen of prayer and fasting, and how a lack of preparation for the ground hinders the maturing of the fruit. And one of the things you recently just said, it allows for the weeds to choke it out. And so I'm like, Lord, okay, where do I need to prepare my own ground? And I need to start doing it now, you know, or as they say sometimes in business, you know, this needs to be done yesterday. It was due yesterday, you know. So that's where I'm at right now. This is a vital word. I hope everyone listening is realizing how important this word about the fruit of the Spirit is for right now. Rabbi?
Amen. I totally concur with you because although next year is not promised to us, next year will be so much more required of us. And we can't produce what is required next year if we don't cultivate and begin to prepare the ground today.
Mm-hmm.
We have to seize today. We have to prepare today. We have got to get before Him today. Fasting is a key element. It's a key element. Isaiah 58 is the what I would consider the fasting chapter, and the definition and understanding of fasting. We can go there now. But I want to make sure that everyone understands that fasting is not just denying yourself of food. Fasting is both spiritual and physical. Both spiritual and physical. I keep going back because the Father keeps bringing me back to the song, that Israel keeps that just keeps ringing in me, and it rings in me because it's not for me. I'm just speaking for myself. It's not a song that I just sing to really kind of in tune myself with God, although that does happen. But with me, with God, with the song, it's very much like a book that I have a very hard time reading. Okay. And I think it's holiness in the presence of God. Yeah, holiness, truth in the presence of God. And that's by Francis Frangipane. If you ever get a copy of that, hold on to it. Don't ever share it with anyone because it's just, it's one of those books that when you share, you may never get it back. But as I read that particular book, okay, I am stuck in chapter one. And the reason why I say I am stuck is because the Holy Spirit will have me go back and reread it until it begins to resonate with me. In other words, until I am actually doing what it says needs to be done in order for the holiness and the presence of God to resonate in me. So like the song that I was mentioning before, it says away, away. And that away, away means get away from the noise. get away from all the natural things, both good and bad. Not just the bad. Oftentimes we think, oh, well, you know, we get away from the bad things. No, everything. Everything. Get away from everything so that you can begin to set the course of your day. And a part of that setting a course of your day is that fasting, because the fasting begins to plow up, and most of us know this, but it's not a knowing that is important to the body of Christ. It's a doing. It's an application. It's an application, applying this. That's what the Father's been telling me. So you need to apply what I'm sharing through you to others. You need to apply. That's one of the blessed responsibilities of a teacher, is they are held at a higher standard because God will give them a download, but that download is first for them and their house, then for others. But oftentimes we flow in the Spirit so much that we share it, but we're not living what we're sharing. And that causes us, as Paul says, that causes us to be transported to the category of being a castaway. Although I preach to others, you know, in Corinthians 9:25-27. And I believe it's 1 Corinthians, I believe. But the point is, we get to live this. And the very thing that will help just turn the soil over. I mean, Pastor Andre, you mentioned the garden. And I know you realize the importance of having to turn the soil over, because that helps to expose the roots of the weeds. It's interesting. You don't have to plant seed for weeds to grow. They just grow.
That is so true.
And they outgrow everything else. You don't have to do anything for weeds to grow. But you have to go through the regiment of being a true gardener for the seeds to produce the fruit of the harvest. And that is a regular regimen, an everyday inspection and getting in there and really working and toiling with the soil. We are the soil, Pastor Andre. We can't look at someone else and say, you know, why didn't you, you know, why didn't you get a tiller and toil it and turn it up and work the soil? We are the ones. It's our garden individually. And the Father has begun to turn the spotlight on us individually. And when we see the lack of the fruit at our table, there's no one else that we can look at and point to and say, why such barren fruit? We know the answer before the question is ever given.
Wow.
We understand that it was our lack of toiling the soil. When we look at the fruit, the most important aspect of the fruit is how do we prepare. When we look at the Sabbath, the most important aspect of the Sabbath is the day prior, the day of preparation. When we say, you know, well, this is a situation where I need to get my ox out of the ditch, because Yeshua gives that proverbial proverb pertaining to the Pharisees and Sadducees, and says, who among you, if your ox is in a ditch on Sabbath, will not try to get it out or help others to try to get it out. Of course you will. And none of them responded. They didn't respond because they knew that they were guilty of that and that they would get their ox out of it. They're not going to just leave their ox in the ditch because it's Sabbath. But what the Father is saying to us is, why is the ox in the ditch on Sabbath in the first place? And the answer, because we did not properly prepare the day prior. We chose not to prepare in order for the fruit of the Spirit to truly produce what it is designed by God to produce. Yes, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the Spirit, but we would be remiss if we didn't talk about what was the most important element in order for the fruit of the Spirit to even produce anything. We're going to have a lack of productivity in our day, in our time, in our season. That lack of productivity is what is going to be the downfall of the saints. And that's what's going to appropriate that which the adversary and the man of the hour, the Antichrist, that's what's going to appropriate his agenda. He's counting on us not to fulfill and to really work according to God's manner of doing so in the day of preparation. He's counting on that. He's expecting that. Now that we've gotten that established, let's begin discussing each of the seeds of the fruit of the Spirit. And unfortunately, we are out of time. So we will pick it up next week. But don't forget these precious understanding of how the ground needs to be fertilized. It's our responsibility to fertilize our individual ground. The adversary does not want you to understand this. He would rather you focus on the fruit of the Spirit and then expect it to just happen because you're focused on it.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that the fruit will not produce the kind of harvest. And then he will point at God and say, he failed you. He let you down. When in actuality, it was us all along. By not adhering to, not following the simple instruction that was already mandated in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Andre, I pass it to you to give instructions and understanding in our closing.
Absolutely. And Rabbi, you give the best cliffhangers. So, folks, I thank you for joining us. Just real quick, just reiterating that it's a very important thing. For this week, if we can give homework, just search about what it means to prepare. Because preparation makes all the difference in the time of the harvest. Rabbi, that was excellent. I can't even get started here with the end here. But again, just for those of you listening, thank you. I hope that you're getting as much out of these discussions as I'm getting. And I know, as Rabbi said earlier, it's a heavy revy. And these are the moments where the Lord is really desiring for us to apply and to really get the word, get the message, get the point, so that we can succeed. So thank you for listening again. And as we engage in God's word, we want to make sure that you all continue to go back to the scriptures, to study these things, to see if they're true, to be as the Bereans were.
And not just say, hey, yes, it's true, but then do something with it. And now we're realizing that you can't just do something with it unless you also prepare the ground in which you want to plant it. So go ahead and prepare your hearts, search your hearts. As Rabbi said, with fasting and prayer, this is what's needed in this time so that we're not overcome spiritually. Yes, the enemy will try to wear us out, but we need to make sure we have cultivated ground. Thank you, Rabbi. That was excellent. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have any questions about what we talked about today, or if you'd like to receive our weekly newsletter, or you may simply desire to leave us an encouraging word, we appreciate those words. You can email us at office@bethhashem.org. And if you want to find out more about us, you can visit our website as well, which is www.bethhashem.org. And again, Beth Hashem is spelled BETHHASHEM. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. And if you'd like to get a deeper understanding of Hebraic roots of our faith, please inquire about our college. As of today, enrollment is coming to a close. But if you want to reach out, and we can give you more information about the next coming sessions and how you can participate in our Zakkai University of Learning, which offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. And you can view more information about that at courses.bethhashem.org. And finally, if you'd like to make a contribution to this ministry, if you'd like to, as a congregant, pay your tithes or give offering, it can be made at Cash App. And you can visit our Cash App account on either your mobile or a website address at www.cashapp.com/$BethHashem, all one word, lowercase. Or you can mail a check or your offering to office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. I want to just give a special thank you for those who have contributed and sowed into this ministry. And we give you thanks. We thank you, Lord, for that as well. We're going to go ahead and close with our after Torah blessing. And we'll leave you with our Aaronic benediction and then pass back to Rabbi for our closing prayer. So this time, now we'll have our after Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chaye olam nata bikokeinu. Baruch atah Yehua noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, rey del universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros. Se bendiga Yehua, dador de la Torah.
Amen, amen. As this blessing from Numbers chapter 6 is recited, please consider your loved ones and your family as you listen to this prayer and accept it and receive it for yourselves and your family. Father, we give you thanks for this time. Father, we thank you for this blessing in Yeshua's name.
Yivarechecha Yehua ve'yishmerecha Ya'er Yehua panavelecha v'chunecha Yisa Yehua panavelecha ve'yasem lecha shalom.
May Yehua bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Amen. Father God, right now, in the name of Yahushua, prepare our hearts. Reveal to us areas where we've allowed our ground to get toxic. And we've called it karma. Allow us to understand and to know not only how we have choked out the fruit of the Spirit and caused our words that you've spoken in our hearts individually to be of none effect because of the traditions of men, because of the instructions of the world on how to live and how to walk and how to be. Help us, Father God, because the time is short. And the manifestation of the eschatological understanding of things are about to unfold before our very eyes. We submit to you, Father God, right now. We call upon you. We desire your spirit to guide us into the fullness of the truth of your salvation. We thank you that you will not abandon your word, and that your word will always bring forth the fruit that your word is called for. We thank you that you will not abort your children, your offspring. We thank you that you will be there with and for us, guiding us if we so desire. And we yield so that we can be led by your Spirit. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.